a pleasure to look at your faces. It's been a great couple of days, hasn't it? Before we sing another hymn, let's ask the Lord for His help. Our loving God and Father, Thou hast blessed us this weekend and with so many rich blessings. Father, Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, has done all things well. Now, Lord, we ask for help for the gospel meeting this afternoon. Our God, we think of Thy heart of love in sending the Lord Jesus into this world to be our Savior. And Lord Jesus, how we love to honor Thee for going to the cross, shedding Thy blood, giving up Thy life, then taking it again. And Lord Jesus, Thou art seated right now at the right hand of Thy Father. Thou art the head, and how we thrill to think about it. We look forward to seeing Thee. Lord, we own our dependence upon Thee. We ask for a blessing in this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's sing number 322. There is a stream of precious blood which flowed from Jesus' veins, and sinners washed in that blessed blood lose all their guilty stains. Number 322. There is a stream of precious blood which flowed from Jesus' veins, and sinners washed in that blessed blood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thing rejoices to see that Savior in His I almost feel like just saying amen and sitting down now. But we're not going to do that. When I came here this weekend, I really didn't know what I was going to say. I had some thoughts, but the Lord has really brought out some things at this conference that are so precious. And so I want us to turn back to Leviticus, to a verse that was mentioned yesterday. Leviticus chapter 11. Chapter 17, sorry, and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here we are on so-called Easter Sunday. But to us, every Lord's Day is Easter Sunday. What a joy it is to be able to have what we had this morning and to be able to remember the Lord in his death and to think about why he went to the cross and the cost and those beautiful pictures all throughout the Old Testament of the blood of Christ and its power. And then that glorious first day of the week, you know, those morning disciples and the women, they come to the grave, you know, at the early. They just love the message they got. Why seek ye the dead among the living? He's not here, he's risen. He's alive. And we started in this conference talking about in Jude, one of the things that's mentioned was the way of Cain. And it was mentioned that Cain tried to approach God with the fruit of the ground. And how God could not have respect to that because it came from a cursed place. God said, because of what Adam and Eve had done, cursed be the ground for thy sake. And Abel comes with the lamb, right? And God has respect. Where did Abel learn that? I believe Adam and Eve had told their sons about what happened that day when they had sinned, and God gave them coats of skins, right? And there was death that day. God clothed them in coats of skins. And all throughout the Old Testament we have, as we read in Corinthians, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You know, we read this morning of Abraham and Isaac, right? And the Lord comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, the one that all of the blessings that I have promised you is related to, that line that you've waited so long for, I want you to take that son and I want you to bring him to the place I tell you, and then I want you to kill him. Offer him up to me. Ooh, that's What a picture of God the Father and God the Son, right? Let's turn back to that. I just find that passage so moving in the gospel. And here's Abraham and Isaac, and they're going along together. And the question comes out. My father, Isaac says to his dad, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham can say, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, this is beautiful, both of them together. Together. And all throughout the history of this book, we find the Father and the Son going along together. There's so many beautiful pictures of the blood of Christ. Think of the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That lamb without blemish and without spot. Think of all the offerings throughout, just tens of thousands of animals that were sacrificed. All that blood speaking to God, the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus, that was going to be shed on the cross for you and for me. Because we're sinners. And we find that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We had last night in the gospel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And blood had to be shed. And we come to the cross of Calvary. And you know, we could read a lot about this. We'll just quote a few verses that came to my heart this morning. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come to pass, went forth. Think of that. He went forth. He says to Pilate, he stands before him, for this cause came I into the world. The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? And he goes to the cross. And he's crucified. And God poured out the blame and the punishment for your sins and my sins on the head of the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son, the one person who had no sin, the one person who didn't deserve to die, killed on the cross. In those hours of darkness, God pours out that punishment upon him. It says in Isaiah, his face was so marred more than any man, his visage more than the sons of men. There's another verse in Isaiah that I thought of this weekend that I'd like to share with you. It's in the end of Isaiah. Let's read chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's a problem. Sin separates us from God. Sin is a robber. It was mentioned in the last meeting of the man there on his way down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it's my understanding that that's quite a drop in elevation from Jerusalem to Jericho. I was speaking with a man that has been there. He said, as the crow flies, is about 12 or 15 miles, but to drive it is about 40. Because you're switchbacking. Stan, you've been there.
I never noticed the switchbacks, but it's certainly a steep drive.
Pretty steep, right? So this man is going down. You know, sin brings us down. And what happens? He fell among thieves. And they stripped him and beat him and left him there half dead. That's what sin does. Sin robs God of what is His. And the Lord Jesus comes down to where we are, brings us up out of that place, puts us on His own beast, pouring in oil and wine, brings us to the inn. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the cross, what the Lord Jesus has done? But the verse I wanted to share with you now is, let's read part of 15 and 16 here. So we'll read just a clause from verse 15 to see who's speaking. And the Lord saw it. Now 16. And He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore His arm brought salvation unto him. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord looked down, He could see. Steve, there's nothing you can do for yourself.
Hopeless.
It's hopeless, right? Nothing you can do. There's no intercessor. What does it say? Therefore His arm brought forth salvation unto him. God did all of the work. There's nothing that you and I can do to merit salvation with God. He did it all. He sent His Son into the world to die for you. His arm did it. I find that very moving. His arm brought salvation unto him. The value of the blood of the Lord Jesus is so infinite. Yeah, we pondered that this morning in a beautiful way. How in Isaiah 53, God punished His Son, the Lord Jesus, for your sin and for my sin. It says, the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And then it says, He shall see of the travail of His soul, and shall say, well, that's a good start now. Finish the rest of the pathway on your own. Is that what it says, Kyle?
No.
It says, He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. And God is satisfied with the work of the cross. It's complete. It's done. There's nothing more you can do. In John chapter 7, we find the Lord standing in a place, and it says, that last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsty in your soul, friends? Come to the Lord Jesus. Once you do that, has the Lord Jesus ever done you wrong? Ever. Never. The Lord Jesus loves you. He went to the Calvary's cross to die for you. He shed His blood. You know, we see that, we read of that time when He's hanging there on the cross. He cries out, it is finished, complete, done. The atonement is finished. And then the soldiers come, right? And they're breaking the legs of those crucified men because they wanted them to hurry up and die. And so they break the legs of this guy, and they break the legs of that guy, and they come to the Lord Jesus in the middle, and they see He's already dead. It says He bowed His head and dismissed His spirit. You know, man didn't kill the Lord Jesus. He satisfied the eye of God in the question of your sins, and when He said it is finished, it says He dismissed His spirit. Like no man... It's in John 10, it said, no man can take my life from me, I lay it down of myself. So what happens? That Roman soldier takes that spear, I don't know how high that cross would be, and he just rams it up into the side of the Savior in cruelty. And what happens? Out comes the blood. And the water. That blood that saves. We had last night the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a glorious thing. Have you accepted that in your life, friend? There's nothing you can do to merit God's favor in your own power. Nothing. The only thing that you can do is to accept God's work, God's gift of salvation that happened at the cross. Have you done that? Have you done it? It says in Romans chapter 10, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Beautiful verse. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you done that? Have you done it, friends? God has provided everything you need. He's satisfied with what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. But it's up to you. God will not force His way into your heart. He stands there, knocking on your heart's door. So will you let Him in? You know, it also says in Romans 10, they have not all believed the gospel. Now, I look across your faces and I know that many, many, many of you dearly love the Lord. But I wonder, is there someone in here that has not believed the gospel? It's free. God loves you. God has done everything possible to bring you into favor. You'll never get into heaven with sin in your heart. Never. Are you willing to say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I believe that what You did on the cross for me is sufficient"? Another verse from Romans 10. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." What does Lord mean? It means the authority. Are you willing to say with your mouth, "I make Him the authority in my life. I surrender myself. I give my life to You, Lord." That's what it means. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe. You know, someday you're going to stand before God. It might be at tonight. We have no guarantees about tomorrow. None. I could be dead in 10 minutes. You might be dead in 10 minutes. The Lord could come in a moment. And when you stand before God, your mouth will confess Jesus is Lord. Are you going to do that with joy on in your face or hatred? Your mouth will say the words, "Oh, I can't wait to look the Lord in the eye. Say, Jesus is my Lord." "So every knee shall bow, your knees." Friend, your knees are going to bow before that man. Are you going to be glad to do it? Or are you going to be there in hatred and rejection of Christ to be cast into a lake of fire? You don't have to be. God is love. God is light. We find in 1 John God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There can be no sin in His presence. But what happened on the cross of Calvary for you, friends, is enough. Will you accept that? Will you take Christ's offer of salvation? He wants you. He loves you. He died for you. Will you take that? I don't know that I can say much more. You know, Jim, when you were talking about the refugees up here, this came before my heart. So when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, the Lord wants to take your life and to bring you into blessing, guide you and keep you and save you. Will you take that? Will you follow Him? Will you trust Him with your life? The Lord Jesus is the only trustworthy one. He'll never do you wrong. Accept Him. I think I would like us to close with singing number 8. And I think it would be nice if we stood up to sing it. O Lord, we adore Thee, for Thou art the slain one that livest forever enthroned in heaven. O Lord, we adore Thee, for Thou hast redeemed us. Our title to glory we read in Thy blood. Sing number 8. O Lord, we adore Thee, for comes to my heart. When I was a kid, we had a camper. On the back of it was a painting done by Mr. Bellicelli of a hymn, and this is part of it. I just want to ask this question to your soul. Passing onward, what we're doing, right? Passing onward, quickly passing. Yes, but whither, whither bound? Is it to the many mansions where eternal life is found? I ask your heart tonight, is that where you're going? Passing onward, time its course will quickly run. Still we hear the fond entreaty of the ever-gracious one, come and welcome. 'Tis by me that life is won. That's the invitation of the gospel. Come and welcome. 'Tis by me that life is won. Let's close in prayer. Our loving God and Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast provided Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And Father, we pray that everyone in this room would know and love the Lord Jesus as Savior. We pray, Lord, for a blessing upon this conference, for a blessing upon Thy Word. We pray that the seeds that were planted in each soul would spring up in fruitful ground and bring fruit. Think of the refugees that were with us last evening, Lord, and we think of the difficulties that they have had and how Thy heart goes out to them. Lord, we know very little of suffering. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless Thy word to them. We think of those here in this room, any that is yet without Christ. We pray, Father, that their hearts would be stirred to know that Thou, our Father, art love, and that Thou hast desire a relationship with them, that they would open their heart's door. Lord, we are about to part ways. We pray for help and strength. We need Thee, Lord. Without Thee, we can do nothing. Help us to be found faithful. Help us to be an encouragement one to another. Oh, Lord, we pray that we would be found keeping ourselves in the love of God. We thank Thee and we bless Thee, our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.